Hello, listener, and congratulations for opting to listen to Fantasy Sports Scout European Edition.
Hello, I'm Julia, again. Still here.
She is Julia, and I am Edward, and this is the Fantasy Sports Podcast that treats you as if you know almost nothing about football.
Well, I don't know a lot, so that's appropriate.
See, exactly. We explain the basics. We explain the basics and leave the expert-y stuff to the experts. Today, we will continue our preview of Euro 2020, we will be starting with Group B. See?
Fancy.
We have sound effects and everything. We're professionals.
Yes, so it's time for us to discuss Group B. So we're gonna have to speed it up a little bit because we have been very caught up with our work, and Eddie's doing a lot of work that you cannot see behind the Euros news. So today we're gonna discuss Group B, which is, may I announce?
Please.
Which is formed by Belgium, Denmark, Finland, and Russia.
It's an interesting group. It's not exactly an even group.
It's very interesting.
So let's just dive right into it. Obviously, the elephant in the room is that there's a big favorite to win this group, and that's Belgium.
Okay. I wanted to guess, but yeah, I would also have guessed Belgium. And also, I have to say, I was rooting for Belgium on the last World Championship, so...
Yeah. You did. You were like you were a hipster Belgian fan.
Yeah, I was never a Belgian fan before, but I thought they had a pretty good chance to win, so I was like rooting for them.
I'll be honest. I like the Belgian team. I really don't like the country. I'm sorry if this is unpopular opinion, but I really dislike Belgium. It's in my top, you know, top pet peeves of countries that I really dislike. There's so many things to dislike about Belgium.
Yeah, but you love beer, so they have awesome beer. You have never been there. How can you say that?
I'm trying to stay away. But yeah, the beer is pretty good. The beer is pretty good. But just speaking of the Belgium team, so the big talking point would be that they have one of the best squads in the Euro, but they've had one of the best squads in every last championship that they've taken part in.
Okay.
They obviously have two or three immense stars. That's Romelu Lukaku. He was the best striker in Serie A last year. And they have Kevin De Bruyne, arguably the best footballer in the world.
See? They have pretty good chance to win.
But their thing is that they haven't... They're called the golden generation, you know, in their country. They haven't won anything yet. So it seems like something of a bit of a curse. Obviously, a lot of their players are getting on in age a bit. Julia, based on almost nothing, do you think they'll meet expectations?
Yes, obviously. I have a question. Is Hazard playing?
So Eden Hazard was like their star at the last World Cup.
Yeah.
But since then, and let me put this politely, he's delved into the potato chips and frosty snowflakes or
that's
whatever.
That's my kind of man. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You're my man, but, you know, he's like my player.
He's
like,
put on a wee bit of weight, and he was injured for most of the season. He will be playing, most likely, but... Will he be doing it as well as he did last
week? I think that's discrimination. How can you say that? Because he loves the chips, his chips. You know, Belgium is pretty famous for beer, fries, and, you know, waffles and chocolate. How can you judge somebody that he loves his chips, you know? And truth to be told, there are plenty of players who might be considered by some overweight. So I don't think that's a fair point.
Right,
so
right.
So I'm going to take Hazard's
part. So you're saying
part.
Most Belgium football players in a few years are going to be fat anyway, right?
No, I'm just saying that they're entitled to eat their fries if they want to. Not all the time, but you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Looking at their squad, they have a really balanced team, like I said. But their biggest problem is that some of their players, like, let's say, Toby Alderweireld, even Courtois, even Yannick Carrasco, they're getting on in age, but they also have a few younger players like Yuri Tielemans and Hans Van Aken, who plays for Bruges, that have a lot of potential but haven't really played at this big of a stage.
Mm-hmm.
most people, to be honest with you, would expect them to easily win the group. But yeah, I think they'll qualify. What will they do beyond that?
I think they have a pretty solid squad team. Is Courtois going to be the main goalkeeper?
Almost certainly. And since you mentioned Hazard, obviously there are two Hazards in the team at the moment of talking. There's Forgan Hazard, who plays for Borussia Dortmund, his younger brother. And Eden, I'm not even sure. I think there are some doubts regarding his possible injury, because he was injured for most of last season.
Oh.
If he's not injured, he'll probably play.
Okay, so I wish them all the luck. I think they don't need that much luck, because they're a pretty solid team. But yeah, so shall we?
We shall, and a good way to segue into our next team is to actually ask you, as a travel blogger, juliasomething.com, what do you think of the fact that the Euros are being held in 11 different cities?
Oh yeah, I just noticed on the official UEFA website that the host cities are actually 11 cities that are gonna host Euro 2020.
And what's the fifth city in that list?
Oh yeah, we have Bucharest is one of the list is host city. The what?
But which one is the fifth?
The fifth? This one?
Well, I was counting on like that, but...
Oh, okay. This one? Copenhagen.
Yeah. What do you think of Copenhagen?
Oh, I actually really love Copenhagen. And as a matter of fact, we are going to be in Copenhagen in about 1 month from now. So we're going to be in Copenhagen by the time the final match of the Euros is going to be played, and we're going to be there to watch it. And I have no idea who's going to be like the semi-finalist and who's going to win, but whatever will happen, we will be in Copenhagen. So yeah,
the thing is that Copenhagen will be seeing a lot of football this month. They'll be hosting a lot of games, and most importantly, and this is a new thing for the Euros, Denmark, and our next team, will be playing all of their three group games home on home soil.
Ooh.
In Copenhagen. So that's that's usually a massive advantage. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a question. So these are the host cities, but what happens after the group stage? Like when you get to the semifinals and finals, are they going to be played? Do they know already where they're going
to
play?
Yeah, yeah. So it's already scheduled, but most likely, you know, the advantage of playing on home soil, that's going to be taken away, because you don't know who's going to qualify in first place or second place.
Yeah.
Some teams will get to play at home, even in the latter stages.
That's
not
I'm
a guarantee.
Asking.
If I'm not mistaken, the final is playing in London, so of course they'll be hoping England qualifies for the finals. But, but we're left to see that.
They have also Glasgow and London. How is that fair?
Why isn't that fair?
Because you have two cities from the same country.
Ah, they'd be so angry if they hear.
I know, I'm sorry, but you know, geographically speaking...
Probably people who don't know think that Bucharest and Budapest are the same country too, so...
But they're not, so don't say that. Don't make me angry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Going back to Denmark. So it's
Denmark.
A really, how would I define this? It's a team that's been quite successful in the past couple of years. They qualified after some really good results. And recently everyone marveled at how many goals they're able to score.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at their squad list, they're pretty, most of their players are utility players, but for big teams.
Mm-hmm.
So utility players, not necessarily stars, not great skill.
So what is a utility player?
A player that you can depend on, that does the basics.
Like smash you in the face if it's
if needed, yeah. So
cause a fault,
kill everyone if needed.
Well, I hope not.
There's one really skillful player, and that's Christian Eriksen, who plays for Inter. He's had an up and down season, but the rest of the team, people like Pierre-Emil Højbjerg from Tottenham and Thomas Delaney from Dortmund, even Andreas Christensen from Chelsea.
So are these like the most famous players from Denmark?
They'd be the most famous players, and usually, you know, the thing that's a bit weird about Denmark this time around is that they have good attack. Most of the time when you think of northern teams, and we're going to be discussing another one well, actually two others in this group, they're pretty, you know, like steady based on strength, not necessarily skill. This team is a bit different, especially because of Christian Eriksen. He's like their number 10, so like
so
their
is this the,
mastermind.
The one in the attack position? How do you call that?
Yeah, he's like a playmaker. So most of the passes kind of go through him. He kind of directs the game from.
So he's a midfielder.
He's like an attacking midfielder. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So his name is.
It's Christian Eriksen, and he
plays
for Inter Milan at the time of speaking. Actually, Julia, did you know that Denmark won the Euros in 1992 without even qualifying?
What? How is that even possible?
You don't know the story. Well, in a nutshell, they didn't qualify. Yugoslavia was supposed to take part, but there was a war going on very near the Balkans.
Oh, in 1992, yes.
Yeah. And since they couldn't take part, they asked the runners-up, which were Denmark. Denmark hadn't prepared. By most accounts, most players were on the beach, literally. They were having a holiday. And it came, you know, quickly to the Euros.
They got them all together and they were like, okay, let's do something.
Let's do something. And
great for our country.
Yeah, against all expectations,
you know,
they won it.
You can tell right there that Denmark has a strong culture for sports, you know. You're like on holiday, probably not on their own beach. Well, was this in summer? If it was in summer, then you can
it
go.
It was in summer, but
so
I'm guessing it wasn't in Denmark. Don't most Scandinavians go to like Spain or something?
Yeah, they go to the south part of Europe, but still, they have some beaches there. I've been in Denmark to the beach. It's not bad, but it's not like you can go for a nice chill swim because it's kind of cold. Like, you can go for a sunbath, but yeah. Okay,
next on the list is Russia. And Russia really impressed us in the World Cup in 2018. They hosted it.
It was actually Finland, but it's okay. We can go with Russia first.
I think they're randomly picked there, but maybe they are, maybe they're not. I think the third most famous team in the group would be Russia, though. And
famous.
Famous also in terms of results and of potential right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually a pretty oldish team. They're trying to rebuild it right now.
Okay.
Most of the players that they went with in the World Cup, they were kind of old. They are rebuilding. They've had some pretty good results qualifying here. And they'll also be playing two of their group games in St. Petersburg.
Yes, and St. Petersburg is one of their host cities. So they're going to be playing two of the games at home.
And one in Denmark.
And one in Denmark, so
yes.
It's pretty close. Yeah, that's very nice.
It's also interesting to note that most of their players, they come from Russia, which...
Obviously.
Well, yes and no. I mean, it sort of shows that the Russian Premier League has grown a lot in recent years.
You want to say that most of their players play in Russian
clubs,
right,
teams,
right?
There are a few exceptions, and of course, they're probably the stars of the team, and those are Golovin and Alexey Miranchuk, who plays for Atalanta, and Denis Cheryshev, who plays for Valencia. Golovin plays for AC Monaco. Basically, if I'm not mistaken, they earned their transfers in 2018 when they played really well.
Mm-hmm.
So those players will be looking to maybe do the same, especially since they're in the twilight of their career.
Mm-hmm.
But my star player, and he was almost not selected, is of course Artem Dzyuba, this giant of a striker.
This one playing at Zenit?
He plays for Zenit. He's very efficient, and he looks like... I don't know. Just imagine Conan the Barbarian playing football.
Ooh.
Yeah. He's very hard to...
That's not gracious.
He has... I hope Dzyuba doesn't mind, or any fans of his. He has very little grace, but he has so much strength that few defenders can actually block him.
I think that's kind of scary.
Yeah, most defenders think that too.
Yeah, well, that's a scary thing to know about your opponent.
Yeah, he was almost not selected because of a weird sex scandal in Russia, but
we tell? They speak different language.
Well, the sex scandal was actually a video that was posted of him online, but it was a personal video that was stolen, so there was no real fault on Juba's part. Somebody hacked into his phone and stole...
That's not nice. We all have private lives.
And, exactly, you know. And he wasn't, it was nothing that sensational. Anyway, what do I think Russia's going to do? They definitely have a chance of progressing from the group.
Yeah. And do you think they're going to play better than Belgium?
No way, no way. I think normally Belgium should beat everyone really easily.
I have another question. So from each group, you have two teams that qualify?
Oh man, that's a good question. It gets complicated.
Oh.
It used to be like that. Yes. Yes. Short answer, yes. But you also have, so we have six groups, right? The third best, actually, let me put it this way. The best four teams that are in spot three in the standings also qualify.
Okay, that's complicated. We'll get to that later.
It's a bit complicated.
Okay, so back to Russia. Favorite player you said is...
My favorite player, I think it's Artem Dzyuba. He's really fun to watch.
He's a forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, and this is Mr. Dzyuba. He scored actually 29 international goals, which is pretty good for any national team.
Oh, that's interesting. Anything else we should know about a team?
Yeah, I think Golovin, obviously, a lot of people will be talking about him when he played last time. He's like their creative playmaker, so a lot of people will be looking towards
creative.
Him.
Creative. How can you have a creative and a wall in the same team?
Well, I think that's the balance. Because rest of the team, as far as I know, the last time I saw them, they're also, like the Danes, they're pretty, like, utility players. Like, players that do the basics really well, strong players, not necessarily a lot of creativity or technique.
But is that, like, good enough, you know, to win or to get to the upper stages of the championship? Or is just a wall in front of the others? You know,
I think it can be, especially because nowadays football is so physically dominating.
But it's also full of talent and creative.
I think so,
players.
but I think less. I think less than it was in the past. I think it's especially the physical part and the discipline are most important right now. So if you have that and a good setup, you can go far.
Okay, and another question about Russia. Did they ever manage to win the Euros?
As far as I know, no. I think they performed really well as the Russian Union a while back. I think they have a few, I'm not sure, but I think they might have a couple of semifinals in the past in as the Soviet Union.
Okay, so nothing that you remember right now.
They're not a famous team. They're not a team that in the past 30, 40 years did a lot. Especially not since they're Russia. So as a Soviet Union, because they could also draw upon players from, let's say, Ukraine, who had really good teams like Dynamo Kiev, they were better. But as Russia, they've always been like a pretty steady team, but average tier, let's say.
So the wall doesn't go far.
Basically, out of the four teams in this group, none of them, except for maybe Belgium, are famous teams. Belgium is famous recently.
Mm-hmm.
They also have this moment where they qualify to the semifinals of the World Cup in the 80s. But besides that, none of them have great, you know, pedigree. Except, and Denmark obviously won those Euros, but that was a freak accident.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the last team in Group B, which is Finland. Eddie, the first question is about Finland, not about football. Have you ever been to Finland?
Yes, for exactly one day.
Okay, and how was it? Did you like it?
Not a lot. I've always admired like the nord part of Europe, but man, I didn't really like Helsinki. It's
Why?
Really clean.
It was a sunny day, which is, you know, quite strange for the Nordic countries.
I'm suspicious of the Finns, I'll be honest with you.
Why?
They look like people that are hiding something.
And?
Alcohol, probably. Because they were all coming off the boat from Estonia with immense quantities of vodka and beer. Almost
and Coke, even Coke. They were transporting all kind of beverages,
but
liquors and...
To be fair, even a Coke in Estonia is like 5 times cheaper than Finland or something.
I'm not sure if that's the truth, but okay.
It was really...
I think you're exaggerating a bit.
As someone who criticized them pointed out, you know, even landscape-wise, it's very samey. Very pretty, like trees, tall trees and hills, and it's all clean in the city. But yeah. Anyway,
we are all entitled to our opinions. So now
I love the North as a tier. Oh, and I hate their music. They're like power metal, symphonic stuff.
As a full disclosure, Eddie is a music blogger, and he has this, you know, thing for music, and he mentioned more than a couple of times about the Finnish rock.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't know how it's called.
They usually play like metal stuff. Yeah. We have a saying on our website, All77, the music website I run. We say that we're open to any styles of music except for Finnish rock.
Okay. Yeah. But now what about football now?
Yes. I guess Finland is one of the biggest surprises to qualify in the Euros.
So you were not expecting them to qualify? That's what you think?
They haven't qualified for any European championship. I was actually thinking of that. So, you know, as a kid, I used to watch the Euros and the World Cups. Mm-hmm. I've never seen Finland in there. The other Scandinavian teams, yes. Finland, no. Mm. Apparently they did really, really badly when they tried to qualify for Euro 2016.
This year, they did kind of a surprise appearance, both in the Eurovision and the Euros.
Really? What did they do in the Eurovision?
They had the rock band.
Oh, yeah, and, yeah. And they had like the Linkin Park-ish band.
I don't remember what they're singing, but then when the public vote... they got a huge jump in front of the others. It was a huge surprise. So again, correlating that to football, they're kind of surprising us with their qualifications, I guess.
Yeah.
Full of surprises.
But they do seem to like, in the way, same way that they like their rock music. Similarly, they seem to like their more physical, hard, you know, rocking football as well.
They're like Vikings, right?
Not really.
No.
That's the thing.
That's not the land of Vikings.
They're very close to them, but no, they're not. As far as I know, historically. I think the Scandinavians were, but they're technically not Scandinavian, are they?
I would assume
They're kind of caught in between Scandinavia and Russia, but my geography isn't that great.
Yes, that's correct, but I would say they are in Scandinavia, but whatever.
They certainly look like Scandinavians.
Yes.
Okay, big talking points. They did really well in the qualifying stages. Everyone was surprised. They won 18 points from 10 games, which is really good. Of course, they had Italy in the group. Italy won that group fairly easily, but Finland finished second, which is not bad.
Yeah,
they'll be hoping for something similar in their group so that they can qualify.
It's a tough group for Finland in this case, from what I'm hearing from you.
Yes, and they have one of the, let's say, least famous squads in the competition. They have their goalkeeper, Lukas Hradecki, if I'm pronouncing that right, plays for Bayer Leverkusen, and a lot of people might know him. They have a bunch of players that play either for lower teams. Yeah.
I don't.
That's exactly what I was saying. Yeah, you probably either haven't heard of these teams. No. Or their substitute players there.
No, I'm sorry. I heard of some of them, but... Yeah.
They have one star player that everyone's talking about. You know, when
that?
People do the previews, they always emphasize one player, and that's Timo Pukki. He plays for Norwich. Yeah. And a couple of seasons ago, he did really well in the Premier League.
Oh.
He's going to be back in the Premier League this season.
But he looks like a Viking to me.
Yeah.
No. I think so.
He's that kind of, you know, tough forward, a bit of skill, but really, basically, yeah.
Are there, like,
strength
full
and positioning.
Like, strength, yeah, players?
kind of, yeah. But, you know, truth be told, if we're completely honest, I think that these games, because these are such tough teams, except for Belgium, I think they're mostly going to be, you know, like big struggles,
physical struggles, right?
Yeah, not so fun to watch for people that are just wanting to see goals.
Yeah,
but we might be surprised. You know, Finland could be one of those teams that either does really well if they manage to stick to their game plan, or loses terribly. You know, if Belgium beats them by a huge scoreline, not a lot of people would be surprised. But by the same token, if Timo Pukki does really well here. Obviously, a lot of people will be more interested to see him next year.
So, is this guy Puki like their most known player, famous player?
Yes, by far. But if you look at their other players, like you're pointing out, you probably haven't heard of teams like Djurgården. I'm guessing that's in Finland, of Zvolle, of Augsburg in Germany, Montreal and Minnesota United are some of the other teams that these guys play for.
No. Short answer, no.
Yeah, I think out of all the teams in the Euros, they're the least, the smallest favorites to actually win it.
Okay.
But
so the odds are
stacked against.
Yeah, slightly, I would say. Yeah, well, it is what it is. But you never know. You can always have a surprise with them, right?
Right, right. I think these are going to be entertaining games, and you know the coolest thing about it, Julia.
Mm.
We're actually going to be able to see them pretty soon, because on Saturday we're actually going to have 3 games of football, if I'm not mistaken. We're going to have both of the games from Group B.
Really?
Saturday? That's mostly already? Yeah. That's mostly it for the preview from Group B.
Mm-hmm.
But before we wrap it up, we have to do a couple of other things just to keep in with the tradition. And first off, it is...
It's what?
Yeah, we have sound effects. It's Boy That Stinks.
Boy That Stinks. What?
International, for me. For me, international friendlies. International friendlies, they stink. I saw a couple of the big teams... in the friendlies leading up to the Euro Championship, I saw Italy and I saw England.
What's the point of that? Like, you're gonna have your players stressed out by the end of the first week of the Euros, and then you organize also friendlies before you start the Euros. I mean, it makes no sense.
I guess they're supposed to prepare ahead of the Euros, but for example, Gareth Southgate from England, they didn't even play most of the players that they have in their first team squad.
That's the coach, right?
Yeah, yeah, he's the manager. For example, they played Romania a couple of days ago, and they had a lot of players that aren't even gonna be in their squad for the Euros.
Mentioned that before. So it's some sort of compromise for the players that didn't make it to play for the Euros, and then they ask them to play in the friendlies before the Euro, something like that, right?
Exactly, exactly. Plus, the thing about international friendlies is that they're not a lot of fun, and most people don't watch them. That's my
I only knew about that friendly after you were watching at the end of the game, you were watching something on YouTube about the most important moments of the game, yeah? So, and I asked you, what are you watching? Because I was confused. Is there football right now? And you said, oh, they were playing friendlies. I was like, oh, is that even happening?
Yes. Not a lot of people care about friendlies. The UEFA is trying to change that. But I don't know. There's so much football going on that you really... Do you really want to see some players that aren't really involved?
The best?
it's not about being the best. But there's no... There's no point
there's
to
no
the friendly.
Stake.
There's no stake.
There's no stake in it. So yeah, that's why my point.
And before we leave you, of course, we have to give you some fantasy advice. This is
fantasy
the Fantasy
advice.
Sports Scout.
Yeah.
Julia.
So if you are new to our podcast, which is at our second episode, we are also talking about fantasy football and we are giving you some advice. Sorry, it's morning here and I'm a bit had no coffee today.
If you are playing the UEFA Euro Fantasy, then the game is pretty much over.
Why is that?
Because, well, it's an exaggeration, but the game has you choosing your side. And it's already locked, so there's no more choices to make.
That's not really fun.
Yeah, yeah. I picked Dominik Szoboszlai from the Hungarians, and he's already injured.
I had
no idea. So I'm already one player down.
I had no idea. From 11, you have one down. I think that's terrible.
Well, yeah, I have substitutes for the midfield. Maybe I can replace him after the first game, I think. But I don't know, that's fun. But I think you should actually try a daily fantasy football game. There are a few I know I liked the Fanta Calcio is doing 140 euros, but that's especially funny if you're Italian. You can play it if you're outside, but yeah.
Okay. Isn't there another one in the UK? In the UK, I mean.
I don't know if the Fantasy Premier League is doing anything. I think So Rare might be doing something, but that involves you buying cards.
That's a blockchain game.
Yeah, that's a blockchain game, which and it's pretty cool. But those cards,
some money out of that. So
I did, yeah. But the cards right now, they're insanely expensive. So they're thousands of dollars just to create a team.
So basically, you buy the cards with the players, and you have to buy all of them. Like, you get nothing for free.
You get
right?
a few things for free now, but nothing really good. So it's more about trading cards than playing fantasy. So what's left? We actually went down a segue here, but one of them that I do recommend is Football Coin, that I know intimately, and you talked about it last time.
Yeah.
They have fantasy football contests, so events
daily,
every game in the Euros.
For all the major competitions in Europe, and also for the Euros, they're gonna have special contests in the game. Yeah.
But generally wise, as advice go, because we're gonna be talking about this some more, we're referring to daily fantasy games. So out of this group, what we would recommend is actually focusing, on the Belgian team. Of course, they have their big stars, so whatever game you're playing, they're gonna cost more. But getting Lukaku on your side, getting De Bruyne on your side, that can help tremendously, and even their lesser known players can do really well. Of course, a lot of people are also gonna be focusing on the stars of the other teams in the group. So of course, Teemu Pukki, you would expect him to score a few goals in this competition. I would expect him to score
or
a couple
at
of goals.
Least to you know, get you some points in the game, so he's gonna probably play well, and he's a free player.
And he's a free player. And one of the last things I'll say is that international football is so different from club football. Players that do well in international competitions, they always kind of do well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a different thing. So, for example, the Russians, they did well 2 years ago, Golovin and Juba. Maybe you haven't heard of them since then, but I'd expect them to do good now because they have that experience already, that pedigree.
Okay.
So from Russia.
So let's recommend some players.
Yeah. From Russia, I think especially focus on players like Artem Juba, strikers. They're players that play abroad, so that's Golovin and Miranchuk and Cheryshev. But I think that after the first round of games,
mm-hmm.
you can actually find some real gems in, you know, the Danish and the Finnish and the Russian side.
So they're going to probably have, after a few games, you can see how their performance is, and you can choose to make a more informed decision if you want to put together
a fantasy team.
Than
that, if you want to create a fantasy team for like a week or something like that, you have better chances of getting good players from this group than from other groups that contain teams like, you know, the Netherlands and Portugal and England that are all stacked up with stars.
Oh, but in Football Coin, do you have games from each group, or do they get mixed together based on the days that when they play?
It's actually a mix of those.
Okay.
It's usually based on the day, just so you can have more options, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you're in the second day, you're going to have free games. Switzerland plays Wales as well earlier in the day, and then you have Denmark playing Finland.
Oh, so
they're going to
be grouped
Belgium
together in the same contest in the same day.
I haven't checked, but I think so. But even if you're looking for fantasy players for individual competitions, contests, you're probably going to have better chances of finding cheaper players in the squads of Finland and the squads of Russia and Denmark as well.
Okay, so that's a wrap. For today.
That is a wrap for today.
We'll be back real soon to talk about the
third
group.
Yeah.
The third group, yeah. So, looking forward.
Okay. Thank you, Julia.
Thank you, Edward, for educating me a bit more about this football thing.
All right. We're going to be back.